Father God, I thank you and I praise you for the people who came out tonight, this morning. I thank you, Father God, that they're hungry and they're thirsty. I thank you, Father, that you did prepare a table before them to feed them and to give them fresh manna from heaven. Now, Father God, let your angelic host be going to and fro throughout this building this day. Bless your people, Father God, with every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we thank you in Jesus' name. I'm going to read a prophetic word first before I do anything else. It's demonic pressure is coming, but it won't stop you. Recently, in a time of prayer, the Lord began to speak to me about, this is by JoJo Dawson, about the word press. I started to think about pressing into the Lord, pressing toward the goal of the high calling of Christ, and pressing into prayer and fasting. Then the Lord spoke to me and just said, pressure. As I continue to pray, I remember that at the end of 2018, the Lord had spoken to me about the first 90 days this year being fast-paced. And everybody's been saying they don't have enough time to do anything right now. And God already warned us it was going to be fast-paced. Anytime the children of God start moving forward, the enemy knows he is about to experience a devastating blow. The enemy will try to stop sons and daughters of God from moving forward. If he cannot stop them from moving forward, he will try to soften the blow by creating pressure. This is where the body of Christ is at right now. The Lord began to speak to me and said, get ready. There is about to be a press, but do not worry. It will not be a press that will be able to stop you. When the enemy begins to press you, you must press just as much into me. See that? When the enemy begins to press you, you must press just as much into God. However much pressure the enemy is applying in your life, you must respond by pressing just as hard or even harder into the Lord. In this hour, God is advancing his kingdom by establishing a strong foundation in his people to prepare them for the rest of 2019 and even 2020. This is a time to build and move forward. This is what's going on. See, Satan knows that God is getting ready to do something great. He knows that the church is being built up, and he wants to stop the church from building. As Nehemiah was rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, his enemies were trying to pressure him into quitting. But Nehemiah did not come down off the wall. Instead, he responded by pressing into the Lord and building despite the pressure of his enemies. If you're under pressure, you cannot quit. And you cannot abandon what God has assigned you to do. Instead, take the amount that the enemy is coming against you and press into the Lord and the prophetic words he has spoken over your life. That's why you should hang on to your prophetic words and listen to them. If your warfare is on one level, you must take your seeking to the next level. See that? Do not glorify the spiritual warfare you are experiencing. Instead, press into the Lord and glorify spiritual victory. God is taking us from glory to glory. For the past several years, the church has been experiencing some of its greatest times in history. I believe each year we come into will be better than the last. We cannot glorify the darkness that is growing darker and darker, but instead we must respond by pressing into intercession and in fasting and prayer. The enemy is pressing in upon the people of God, but we must rise and create a greater pressure that will overturn darkness. Press into God as never before and fight for your prophetic destiny and the prophetic destiny of this nation. This is a time in America's history when the church must stand up to push back the darkness and advance the kingdom of God. I believe God is pouring out his spirit as never before, and if we do not cave under the pressure of the enemy, we will see America and the nations of the earth press into the things of God. All right, so we know that no matter what you're going through, it's the enemy pressing you. So the harder he's pressing you, the harder you have to press into the Father. And God is standing there more than willing to take you in his arms and hold you tight while the press is going on. And if you're honest with yourself and you look around, you're round about you, you'll say that things are happening worse and worse in your life right now. Things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. Now, we're not glorifying the darkness, we're just making a statement here. So this is why, you know, God had me change the song service for this today, is because, yes, We've been singing the joyful, happy songs, but now God wants you to understand who you really serve and what he will really do for you. You know, you can be joyful and shout and jump and carry on all you want, but if you don't keep your mind on who you're serving, that joy is not going to give you anything. All right? We can get so caught up in being joyful and dancing and singing and shouting that we forget who's really our Father in heaven and really what's behind everything. Right? So I'm going to speak on the everlasting covenant. This is a prophetic word from God that he's teaching us. Hebrews 13 verse 20 says, "Now the God of peace," now listen to your scriptures, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will." Why is he making you perfect in every good work? To do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God is working these great things in you for his glory. I want each and every one of you to quit thinking about poor me and understand you were sent here on assignment, and God wants to use you to minister to the lost and the dying. Just as God sent you into the house to be ministered to and built you up, now you have a job to do. You have to go now and build others up. All right, here in this scripture, we read that God is called the God of peace. He is the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead as that one and only great shepherd of sheep, who came here to save his sheep, and in order to do so, laid down his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus has been raised up from the grave and is now seated in heaven as a great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. In this everlasting covenant, the covenant of grace and peace, the covenant of salvation, made between the three persons of the triune God before the world began through the blood of everlasting covenant, the salvation of God's elect was fixed and settled from eternity. All right? You have to understand that Jesus Christ came, shed his blood. It was a blood covenant that God made between him and his people. Now, this everlasting covenant of grace is a compact, you know, of grace now. We have a covenant of grace with God. It's a compact of love, an agreement of mercy, a contract of goodness, a sovereign disposition of grace made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in eternity, and in that covenant our salvation was immutably secured. Let's read that again. Now, this everlasting, God said, named this the everlasting covenant. So this everlasting covenant of grace is a compact of love, an agreement of mercy, a contract of goodness, a sovereign disposition of grace made between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in eternity. And in that covenant, our salvation was immutably secured. We have a covenant with God that is secured because of Jesus Christ and his blood. God always deals with men and women upon the basis of a covenant. Remember that. According to his own sovereign purpose, he has arranged that he will not deal with man except in covenant terms. And he will not allow us to deal with him in any other way. And as you read your Bible and read about covenants, he made covenants from front to back. All right, now this from here on out is from God. God said, "To each and every one of you, I have made an everlasting covenant, and this covenant cannot in any wise be broken. You will go forward with this covenant, and you shall destroy the works of the enemy. Do not be afraid of the enemy, and do not be afraid of the faces, for I am with you, and I am not against you, and I am calling you forth with an everlasting love that will keep you no matter what comes your way." An everlasting what? Love. And it will keep you. And Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I've taught on this many times. You have to understand that before you was ever formed in your mother's womb, God knew you, and you were in heaven with the Father. All right, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. He was talking to Jeremiah. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you should go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. See, Jeremiah had to speak exactly what God told him to speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. Why? To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Once everything is torn down, then you rebuild and you replant. All right? So you have a purpose in life. And that purpose isn't to sin. That purpose is to do the will of the Father. Then God went on to say, Children, never lean upon your own understanding. Always, and I say always, lean on me for all things. I am well able to bring you through the fires of adversity, and I will surely be with you until the end of times. Read that again. Get that in your spirit. You're going to need it for what's coming down the road. Children, never lean upon your own understanding. Always, and I say always, lean on me for all things. I am well able to bring you through the fires of adversity, and I will surely be with you until the end of times. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, how many of you sitting here this morning, there's things going on in your life, and you can't understand them? Amen? You know, you've prayed, and you've done everything you know to do, and the things are still going on. You just don't understand. Well, Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. God told me the other day that the problem with the body of Christ is you're still not walking in the spirit. You're still walking too much in your flesh, and you're still relying on your knowledge to get things done. And God said it's never going to work. You have to lean upon him. And it doesn't matter if you understand what he's asking you to do or not. You have to do what he's asking you to do. Are you listening here? Come on. I don't care what you're going through. I really don't. God is in control. He knows what you're going through. All right? He knows what you're going through. I read somewhere a couple weeks ago where this young man was saying that God spoke to him and said, I already knew that you were going to, I had your life all planned out for you, he was saying. But I already knew you were going to take the side road. And I already made provisions for you while you were on the side road. And I'm bringing you back around again. So everything, you know, you're walking down the road with God, and all of a sudden you do something dumb, I'll say. You can't figure out why you did that. See, before you were ever brought to this earth, God knew you was going to do that thing. And he told the young man, I made provision for you. All right? So I don't care what you're going through. God has already made the provision to get you out of that thing. God says, many are leaning upon you at this. Now look at this. Many are leaning upon you at this given time. And your assignment is to bring them to the cross and show them Jesus. So why? So they can then lean upon heavenly things and forego all earthly things. I don't care how you, if you're dealing with somebody, I don't care how hard their hearts are. If you've been seeking God's face and God's told you a certain way to talk to them, then you tell them exactly what God says, then let it go. Let it go. Let God take care of it. You can't change them. My testimony is God told me one time, daughter, you're trying to change people. If the Holy Spirit can't change them and I can't change them, you sure can't change them. He said, your job is just to give them the word as I tell you to, and then it's up to them what they do with that. So I'm really admonishing each one of you in here tonight. You're not responsible for their salvation. Once you give them the word, then what they do with that word and how they live is entirely up to them. Their blood is off of your hands. You can pray for them, but don't lose your salvation over praying for them either. We be so caught up in praying for somebody, because God's told me this about myself. He said, you have to leave them, give them to me and leave it alone, because you're not hearing my voice the way you are, because you're too caught up praying for them and they don't want me right now. All right? Your assignment, God says, your assignments are many and varied, and I will not withdraw my anointings from you. See this? These anointings are for the healing of the nations, and they will heal as you go forth undaunted by the things of yesterday. Your assignments are many and varied. Varied. Quit trying to be somebody else. All right? Your assignments are many and varied, and I will not withdraw my anointings from you. These anointings are for the healing of the nations, and they will heal as you go forth undaunted by the things of yesterday. Quit worrying about what happened yesterday. You live in the day you're in, and you just be concerned with the things that God is calling you forth to do. God said, a fierce wind is blowing, and the enemy desires to take each and every one of you out at this given time. But have I not said that he cannot touch my anointed ones? And have I not said that he has no power except the power that you give him? Then walk upright in all your ways, and proceed forth into the vast darkness that is there, and rescue the lost and dying. Then walk upright in all your ways, and proceed forth into the vast darkness that is there, and rescue the lost and dying. God said, this is a year of jubilee, and I desire that all enter into their blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God wants the body of Christ to be blessed. He doesn't want you to be cursed. He wants you to be blessed. Every year for, I think, 10 years, he's been saying this is a year of jubilee. And I said, God, you say that every year. He said, the year of jubilee is when they finally dawns on them that that's their year, and they accept it, then that'll be their year of jubilee. So from 10 years ago, or maybe more, God's been saying this is your jubilee. And you have to understand it and receive it. Then God says, do not allow the enemy to steal any longer. Are you hearing this? Do not allow him to pull you back into his darkness. There is absolutely no light in him, and he is bound for his eternal destination. Do you understand that the devil is always going to plague you? That he's always going to try to pull you back into that sin nature that you had before you really gave your heart to Jesus? Just because you gave your heart to Jesus doesn't say he gave up. In fact, he's fighting you harder than he ever did. And God keeps saying you're in a battle. And he said you have to be a good soldier and you have to fight this battle. Revelation 20, verse 1 said, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Well, let's go back. I said, do not allow the enemy to steal any longer. Do not allow him to pull you back into his darkness. There is absolutely no light in him, and he is bound for his eternal destination. And this is where it tells you that in Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. What was coming down from heaven? An angel of God. The angel laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. It looks to me like one angel did this to this devil that's wreaking havoc all over the world. Everybody's afraid of him. And verse 3 said, and this angel cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. This is where Satan's going to, and he knows it. He knows he's going to be bound for 1,000 years, and he wants to take as many with him as he can possibly take. Now, it's up to you whether or not you're one of those that he takes. God went on to say, even though the winds of adversity are blowing, they should in no wise touch you. For I have made a way of escape, and that way is always right before you. I have opened doors that no man can shut, and I have shut doors that no man can open. See, there's too many people trying to open doors. And if God doesn't open them, I'm sorry, guys, it's not going to work. You're going to fumble around and you're going to blame it on God or your friends or the prophet or whatever. And it wasn't them at all. It was you trying to open doors that God did not want to be opened. God went on to say, there is much to be accomplished in a very short time. And you are the delegated ones that I have already sent forth. See what he says here? Look at this. There is much to be accomplished in a very short time. And you are the delegated ones that I have already sent forth to accomplish the impossible works. And God is saying he has already commissioned you for the work, is what he's saying here. But are you doing the work? Is the problem. God wants to say, children, do not in any way think that I will desert you. I am with you at all times, and I surely have destroyed the snare of the fowler on your behalf. Do not listen to his lies. And I was reading an article the other day on charisma where it said that the reason why you can't get delivered is because you keep believing the lies of the devil. And God's saying right here, do not believe his lies. Do not allow him to distract you from your assignments. You see, he is sly and he is cunning and he can sneak in when you least expect it. So always keep the doors of opportunity closed to him. How do you do that? By walking in the blood of my son Jesus that was so freely shed for your protection. Psalms 91:2, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. That first song we sang this morning is such a beautiful song. Another in the fire. And see, this is what this scripture is saying. God is always in that fire with you. One time he told me, he said, daughter, I know you're going through the fire, but I'm in the fire with you. Just hold on. Keep hold of my hand. Don't let go. Just don't let go. Please grab hold of that tonight. This morning. Please grab hold of that. I don't care what you're going through. I'm hearing God say, I'm there nourishing you. And I am there sustaining you. And I'm there bringing you forth. You know, how can you have a testimony if you never go through a battle and win? You know, that's just what your past is all about. It's your testimony of where God had brought you from. And the great mighty things he's done for you. God goes on to say, the blood is a weapon of warfare that I have endowed to my church, and you need to utilize all the weapons of warfare, not just one or two. God told me a couple years ago, daughter, never forget the blood. It's your best weapon. Always use the blood. God said, this is the best of times and it is the worst of times, but you should come forth with singing and praising. See that? Was that song, Hallelujah, we sang? And God said, and you shall destroy the works of the enemy on all sides. It's not just one side, but on all sides. God says, church, climb up on my lap and allow me to teach you of my ways, and the things of the world will grow dim. The reason so many of mine are destroyed is because of lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because then he goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. See what he says? He's going to forget your children. So you're responsible for what happens to your children. If you reject God, then your children are in trouble. Everybody said, well, it's so-and-so praying against him. No, is it really? Or is it you because you're not really following God the way you ought? I think we give the devil too much credit when it's we ourselves that are at fault. God goes on to say, it is your assignment to go forth and tell the nations of who I am and their rightful place in me. Do not neglect such a great assignment. It is your assignment to go forth. Then God says, you will know with surety of heart that I am aligning you up with my truths, and you will know with surety of heart that you have been sent by the Most High God. There will be absolutely no question in your mind that you are mine and you are on one of the biggest assignments in church history. Are you seeing this, guys? You are on one of the biggest assignments in church history. I don't know why some of you just said, I had a vision two mornings ago. It was about this church, and God came through and took some of you out. You didn't make it. because you will still not, I said, God, what is going on these days? Still will not line up the truth of my word. I would really be seeking God's face right now. You know what you're doing, and you know you're doing wrong, and still you do wrong. God went on to say, this is a great preparation time for the second coming of my son Jesus, and you are the instruments that I am using to bring in this final harvest of souls. You guys that God is calling right now, just like Sister Astrid, Igioma, Irene, you know, you guys and Mark, in Elaine, you guys are the ones that God's calling in right now, and this is your dispensation of time to get the way prepared for the second coming of Jesus. When God first called me, God was using me to clean up the pastors in the churches. And some cleaned up, some didn't. So now he's done with that. Now he's finished that. And now he's going out into the highways and the byways. And now he's raising up ministers right now to take and start preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. We will see the second coming of Jesus. I don't know when he's coming. Don't even ask me, because only God knows that. But we will see it. We will see it. You know, some of you are going to be standing on the sidelines gnashing your teeth because you're going to be upset because you were too stupid to line up with God, and now you miss God and there's no chance to go back. God went on to say, many false prophets are on the scene and many souls will be led into the abyss by them if you are not out there doing the works of the Father of all lights. Read that again. Many false prophets are on the scene and many souls will be led into the abyss by them if you're not out there doing the works of the Father of all lights. Do you hear that? You know, quite a few people are calling me now wanting to hear from God. Two people I haven't heard anything about him. So, you know, I don't say what I don't hear. One of them's upset with me, but, you know, I can't help that. If I don't hear from God, you don't want my opinion. You really don't, right? And so I want everyone of you guys to understand this right now. If you ask for a word and you don't get it, then leave it alone. At the right time, God will give you that word. Or you understand this. Don't allow people to draw something out of you that is not of God. And they will try to do that. Don't let them do that. You do exactly what God's telling you to do, nothing more, nothing less. Children, and then God wanted to say, children, you need to outsmart the enemy on all sides. And you can do this because of our everlasting covenant we have with each other. You need to be smarter than the enemy. You know, I'm big and macho. Well, I see you sinning, so you're not outsmarting the enemy. He's outsmarting you. He's making you believe you're something you're not. How many people do you know like that? Even in the house of God. I'm sorry, guys. There's too much going on in the house of God that is not God. Too much going on in the house of God. You blame the devil, and it's you yourself, your flesh. You don't want to kill your flesh, and you're just blaming on the devil. That's all through the body of Christ, everywhere you go. And God's tired of it. All right, I'm going to go back and repeat that. Children, you need to outsmart the enemy on all sides, and you can do this because of our everlasting covenant we have with each other. All right, I'm going to go back to Irene and her husband. Irene, you know that God has called four people out of your community to do this. All four have not done it. I know one that's doing it, but not doing it right. He needs somebody to go to your people. And he's chosen you two to do that. And he said, I've given you a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint to do that. Now, are you going to move or not is what he's asking you. You just answer that to yourselves. And it's like, Astrid, you're ministering to your people. Because you know the culture, you know what they do. Igioma, you're ministering to your people because you know the culture, you know what they do. And then I'm ministering to the sheep and trying to keep them from killing herself. Amen. Come on. So, you know, what I'm saying here is, you know, God has, you know, he knows who to send to minister to who. And so stay where God places you. Don't try to minister to where you're not supposed to be ministering. Keep your nose in your own pen. All right, God went on to say, this covenant will destroy every bond. You know, so God said, he has an everlasting covenant with you, all right? He said, this covenant will destroy every bondage of the enemy, and it will bring the captives out of captivity. You are the ones that I have assigned to do this. There will not be another generation assigned to do this. You're it. This is the last generation before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're it. Maybe there will become a time when you will, this is still God speaking, maybe there will become a time when you will say, I have finished my race. But that time will not come until you actually finish every assignment that I have given you. We all know there is a time and a season for all things, little ones, so do not concentrate on when your race will be finished, just run the race. And I'm just going to give a little bit of testimony. I've been really sick, really sick. And I laid in bed one night really sick, and I said, God, just take me on home. He said, no, you have two little boys that need you. You still have an assignment. You have people that you still have to raise up for me. So he says, you're healed. Make your body line up with my word. I'm trying to make this dumb body line up with his word. But so I was, please take me home. No, your assignment's not done yet. See, so my race is not finished. Are you understanding this? Paul ran his race, and he ran it well, and this is God speaking, and he knew when his race was finished. You will know the very same thing as Paul, because you are running this race with the same Father that Paul ran with. Let's read that again. Paul ran his race, and he ran it well, and he knew when his race was finished. You will know the very same thing as Paul, because you are running this race with the same Father that Paul ran with. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, this is Paul speaking, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul said he's ready to receive his crown. His race was finished. He had to pass his baton on to somebody else. A lot of ministers have died. Their batons or mantles, where you want to call them, have been passed on to somebody else. There's going to be quite a few. God already has them numbered. He already has them marked for his kingdom. There are people out there that's going to receive some of you guys' mantle if you don't straighten up. They'll receive your assignments. Are you understanding this? God says the enemy is slipping and he is sliding, but he is still winning souls for his kingdom. See this? God said you must overturn this and you must grab those souls out of the throes of hell itself. See what it says there? God said you must overturn this and you must grab those souls out of the throes of hell itself. And Jude 1:23 says, but others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. In other words, God's going to send people to you that already has one foot in hell. And he's going to tell you it's your job to pull them up out of hell. It's your job to get them cleaned up so they can come on home to be with me. And it's not an easy task when you're working with hard-headed, bull-headed people. But you have to do everything God's telling you to do. Do it exactly as he tells you to do it, and then let him do the rest. God went on to say, this is possible, or I would not even say it was, pulling the people out of hell. All you need is faith in me, and then take my hand and just go. Go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Are you listening? All you need is faith. I would get more faith than a grain of mustard seed. All right, I would get a whole lot of faith because I'm going to tell you, they have these people that you're going to deal with are hard-hearted and they're rebellious. And you're going to need a lot of faith to even talk to them. All right, come on. God says, as you go, take my joy, my peace, my love, my glory, and the anointing that I have placed upon you for great signs, wonders, and miracles, and bring in the harvest. So what are you going to take with you? First of all, I've pondered how he did this. First of all, he wants you to take his joy. Sister Elaine always takes his joy. Then his peace, his love, and his glory, and the anointing that I have placed upon you for great signs, wonders, and miracles to bring in the harvest. That's all you need right there. That's all you need. Just take that, grab hold of that, and just take it and go. When God first called me, I said, God, I don't even know how to start a church. He said, I'll teach you. And nobody wanted to teach me. I believe me, they didn't. They wanted me to sit down and shut up because the devil didn't want me to go forward. He knew what I was going to do. So maybe I'll train you. I'll teach you. I'll tell you anything you need to know. But there's a lot of people out there that won't. They'll say, you're not called. You just sit down and you just be quiet. And we'll do the works. And if God's called you, then you go forth and you do what God's calling you forth to do. You're going to spend a lot of time on your face before the Father getting instructions, but He will give you instructions. He will not let you go out there without any help if He's called you. God says some of you will witness one-on-one, and some of you will witness to a multitude at one time. It does not matter how it is done, just as long as my works is being accomplished. Tell me this, little ones, what difference does it make how many souls you bring in at one time, just as long as you're bringing in the souls from my kingdom? Then God says, quit the petty stuff and just do my bidding. God said, let me ask you a question. Peter's shadow healed the people as he walked by. What does your shadow do? Think of that. What does your shadow do? Well, I did. I thought about that. And I said, God, my shadow used to heal the people. And now it doesn't do nothing. So what's going on here? You know, I have as many questions as y'all have. The people's just touched my son's, God said, the people's just touched my son's garments and they were healed. What does a touch of your garments do? I'm hearing God say you're in a different dispensation of time and the devil's fighting harder to make you believe you don't have any power and authority when in fact you have more power and authority than you ever had. So remember that, church. All right? You have the power and authority, but the enemy's trying to make you believe you don't. Then God says here, do you see the entire picture here? You must be fellowshipping with the Father for the anointing to flow through your vessels into the peoples around about you. You must be fellowshipping with the Father for the anointing to flow through your vessels into the peoples round about you. God says, how much fellowshipping are you doing, you know, with God? How much anointing does your garments carry? How much anointing does your shadow carry? Do you have an overflow of the anointing to touch the lost and dying, or do you just have enough to maintain yourselves? Think on this and then do what is needed to save the lost at any cost. God says deliverances will be taking place as you walk past the tormented. You will not need to touch anyone. The anointing that you carry will destroy every yoke and all bondages will just melt away. This is where I'm taking you to. Are you ready to go into the abyss and free the ones in eternal chains? And Isaiah 28:13 says, but the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. And then I wrote that because God said, everything in my word is completed, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. I do not overstep my word. In other words, you're not going to get him to jump ahead to where he doesn't want to go yet. I have been training you for this time and this purpose. God said, are you walking in the overflow? The overflow of my anointing, the overflow of my giftings, the overflow of my love, peace, and grace. Are you walking in these things? And God is saying he wants you to come forth this morning and receive the anointing for the overflow, to be perfectly anointed before you go forth. Now I'm telling you something, guys. You have a calling upon your life, but you're ready to lose it if you don't step into it. All right. Now, do you want somebody else to save those souls? And do you want to one day when you stand before the Father, he'll say, depart from you, worker of iniquity, I do not know you. To save souls is going to cost you a lot. You have to die out to yourself. You have to give up the way you live and you have to start living for God. And I'm hearing God say, you have to carry the eternal truth with you at all times. I was reading something the other day and it was talking about, you know, the armor and you know, then it said, put on the belt of truth. I don't know, I had to stop because something just really resonated in my spirit. The belt of truth. Ministers are not giving the people the truth of God's word. The ministers are in sin themselves, so they are not preaching the truth. They're skirting around the truth. They're preaching half-truths, and God's upset with that. So when you go forth with the truth of God's word. Do not mix it, and do not twist it to please the people. You have to say whatever God wants you to say. You know, as I look around here this morning, there's a mixture of people in here. You're different walks of life. But God wants to use each and every one of you for his glory. He wants you to go forth honoring him and letting people see Jesus in you. And you need to, I'm hearing God say, what I said before, quit doing the flaky stuff. Be real. Be honest and be pure. And let God work through you. You know, there's just so much crazy stuff going on out there right now, all in the name of Jesus, and isn't Jesus at all, period. Do not be one of those that goes out there in your flesh. I want you to be totally, completely armored with the things of God, all of his anointings, his covenant. You know, marriage is a covenant. When you break that marriage, you get a divorce. That really upsets God. You're making a covenant with somebody and you're breaking it. You make covenants with God all the time and you break them all the time. And God's upset with covenant breakers. Don't make another covenant with God unless you know you're going to keep it. I don't care what you feel that second. It has to be down in your spirit that you know that you're going to keep that covenant. Because one day God's going to cut you off just like he did Samson.